Welcome to the See You Next Summer podcast. I'm your host, Billy Pollahan, and with me, as always, is the badger to my Mr. Fox, Mr. Raul Rodriguez. Fantastic to have you here, but I'm just...
What the cuss? I'm always here, cuss.
You know, yes, you're just cussing with us.
I'm gonna cuss a lot. Yes, I'm gonna just cuss and cuss more. Cussing. But yes, today, we're doing a very interesting watch. Also, technically, this is one of my... second or third movie of this director I have ever seen. We're doing Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yes, welcome to a new month of Roald Dahl adaptations. Mm-hmm. If you don't know who Roald Dahl is, you know who he is. You know his stories.
Yes.
A couple of which we will be covering. This is one of his more... obscure ones, but yeah, this is based on the book. I can see the obscureness. And this is also the first time we're talking about a very specific director.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Wes Anderson. He is a director that you either think he is the most pretentious man on earth, or you're just going along with it. He makes these quirky little vignette features. It's either you love him or hate him style. I tend to love him because he just goes for it. And
I do admire that.
He's good at what he does.
Yes.
And I think his style really works for this movie.
I do agree with that. It does agree with this movie, though. Like, I do like the animation, the stop motion. I do like the way that he's using colors. And because I think... the live-action Wes Anderson movies, it feels like you're watching a photo or a painting moving. And also feels like you're watching a very weird stage play sometimes when you're watching his movies. But that quirkiness complements very well with the storybook kind of thing that he's telling in this movie.
Well, it also tends to complement a lot of the stories that he tells.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the times, they are just these little offbeat, quirky little weird stage plays.
Mm-hmm.
But there's more to it.
Mm-hmm.
You just gotta dig deep, pun intended.
Yeah, that was a good one. But yeah, so this is an animated film, Roald Dahl, Fantastic Mr. Fox, and I like how the movie just starts of the foxes trying to get some chickens, and I do love Mrs. Fox, though. I think she's one of the characters I like the most. And I read it was Meryl Streep, right?
Yep. And Mr. Fox, George Clooney.
Yes.
But yeah, it starts actually with the little rhyme, which is bogus Bunsen bean, one short, one fat, one lean. These horrible crooks, so different in looks, were nonetheless equally mean. It's got some bars right there. Anyway, yeah, we also learn his wife, Felicity Fox.
Mm-hmm.
They sneak into a hen house just to steal some chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And they're caught in a cage. That's the other thing about Anderson. He's got, like, very dry sense of humor. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of funny. Like, he's explaining, oh, so this would be this for the trap. And then he just yanks the chain. And then the cage just drops on him. He's like, nope, the cage just... drops right there.
Yes.
Nothing to it.
And then she goes, how they stare at each other. She's like, I'm pregnant. I want you to find another job. And I love how we just see in the eyes, like the closer to the eyes. So I love the detail of the hair, like the animation and the hairs, the damn green eyes. And then it jumps forward 2 years, but in Fox years, it's 12 years. And I really like that he's telling this whole drama of the movie is that he's kind of like in a midlife kind of crisis, Mr. Fox.
That's common. Identity crises are very common in Wes Anderson films.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly midlife crisis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he doesn't want to live in a hole anymore. He just wants to have a tree, have things that he had never gotten. And I love his, I was like, I don't want to live in this hole anymore, honey. Makes us look poor. We are poor. And I was like, that was kind of funny, though. My father died when I was 7 and a half years old. I'm 7. I was like, damn. I was like, he has very little time. And I do love when he's reading the paper and we know about the different type of this world. Like some animals can write to a paper. He has a column. I love that he cuts a little piece of it to get to the realty post that he wants to buy that tree.
Yes, the son, voiced by regular Wes Anderson collaborator Jason Schwartzman.
That's why he's on The Familiar.
He actually got really his career started because of Wes Anderson. He did a movie called Rushmore. And he goes to his lawyer friend, Badger, voiced by other Wes Anderson collaborator Bill Murray. He even kind of looks like Bill Murray. I don't know, maybe. And Badger's just like, yeah, don't do this. First of all, you can't really afford it. And second of all,
it's in a bad neighborhood. That the tree's in a bad neighborhood.
Like the human farmers are right over there.
Also, I mean, like, the realtor character, how he introduces the house. It's a first generation, original floors. It's a beautiful bark. And I'm like, damn, I do like that. And then we, because of the lawyer friend, the Badger, it was like, is we meet the three villains of the movie, Buggis, Bounce, and Bean. And all three of them have very different kind of like materials that they work for. Buggis loves chicken. He is chicken. He has this surf for chicken. I'm like, okay.
And he's a big old fat guy.
And then Bounce. That was really, really disgusting. The deed that he does with the goose to put it in a donut. I was like, ew.
But he's a little guy. I love that they're like, in the shallowest of waters, he would be swimming on his, he wouldn't be able to even stand up on his tiptoes.
And then we get to Dumbledore Bean.
No, but what was Bunce's trade again? Oh, it was the goose.
Yeah, the goose. Yeah, he loves the gooses. And then Bean, that is Michael Gambon, Dumbledore, that he has cider and turkeys. That's his business.
Yep, and he had worked with Wes Anderson on the Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's the late Michael Gambon, and he's a lean fellow, but he's a mean dude. His voice really does compliment, like, this dude is just, like, scary. Like, he will murder you, no questions asked.
And I love when Mr. Fox and Badger, they're having this discussion. I was like, are you going to cuss at me? Are you cussing at me? And I love how they fight. And it feels like they're doing kind of like rabies kind of face, but they don't have rabies. And I love that the secretary just staring at them. I was like, what the hell? Like, I would just make them stop. And then we get into the other interesting thing for me. I'm like, I think because for me, this is a weird complaint that I have with this movie. There's some really good jokes, and then the pacing dies. And then there's a good joke, and then the pacing dies. I have really weird relationship with this movie. And then we met the cousin Christofferson.
Not that Chris Christofferson, but just Christofferson. Voiced by Wes Anderson's brother, Eric Christian Anderson. Never acted before, just Wes's brother.
I love that the names are very much alike, like Hans Christian Andersen from The Little Mermaid.
Yes, I feel like this is also the most intimate Wes Anderson, like the most where it's nepotism, because the fox that has a crush on Christofferson and becomes his girlfriend is Wes Anderson's actual girlfriend.
Oh, you not knew that.
Which is weird. But he's a jack of all trades. He's very soft spoken, but generally he's very nice. And of course, Ash, Jason Schwartzman, very envious of this. And he's a little asshole, which makes sense because Jason Schwartzman gives off that like
teenage angst.
Yeah, we called him the Cusco. like when he did Klaus. He gives off those vibes for sure, but he's very good at just being blunt and rude. But he does it so quick, you're not even sure if he's blunt and rude. I don't know. Just the way he delivers lines really works for Wes Anderson's dialogue.
And also that the Felicity Fox loves to paint thunderstorms. And I also like Mr. Fox immediately loves how the cousin Christopherson is very good at everything, but not his son. I do like that competitiveness between the two. And I'm like, but then when you learn later in the movie that Christopherson is not even related to Mr. Fox, he's related to his wife. I was like, you idiot. How can you do that to your son? But I
well, that's see, also the point.
I know.
Is it's that the point, very early on, he's very self-centered and he's kind of a dick.
Yes, he is.
He kind of does what I've been doing to Raul for the past couple of years and just cuts him off and dominates.
I mean, like, come on. It's just sometimes I let him do that. Sometimes there's many times that I overtake. I mean, like, it all depends on how the rhythm goes, or it depends how tired I am. It depends how Billy, how tired he is. Depends every recording, though. But, and then I do like that Mr. Fox, he's very sad, and then he starts to have, like, a last job. He gets Kylie, his friend that was the, Kylie's the one that, I forgot what animal he is
right now. Oh, the possum.
The possum, thank you, the possum. And I was like, for him, like, to do one last heist. And I love that they planned this whole thing about the blueberries, that they open it up and they put a little bit of, like, a sleeping aid to make the beagles, like, fall asleep.
Oh, yeah.
And then
I don't know if that works.
But I have some questions about the logistics about this world, though, because I'm like, the dogs don't speak, but the foxes and the badger moles and the ones that they can do, they can block the water. In a lot of Looney Tunes, fuck, I forgot the name of those animals too. A lot of them can speak, but not the dogs though. I was like, I had some questions about the logics about some of the animal connections, specifically when you get to later in the movie, about when the villain's talking with Mr. Fox. And so I was like, wait a damn minute. I know this is a cartoon, but I had some questions though. And then I do love how we see that Mr. Fox and Kylie go through all of this different field, and we see the moon very beautiful, very yellow in the corner. The camera is following the animation, and the animation is great though.
This is a perfect movie to set during the fall.
Yes.
Like very much, or Thanksgiving. Like various, a lot of orange. Usually with Wes Anderson movies, there's a big overarching color that dominates, and orange is this color. It's the color of the fox's fur. It's the color of the sky and the backgrounds. I love all the perfectly symmetrical shots where everything is in a straight line, and that's another trademark of Anderson's, is the perfectly symmetrical things. I'm just looking at this cast, and it's pretty amazing that they got so many people. We'll get to the heists, but the Kylie is voiced by Wallace Wolodarski. He's actually a writer on The Simpsons.
Oh wow, that's cool.
So I like how he kind of has these, not really actors, but he does the thing like Mr. Incredible and The Incredibles, where he goes out at night with his friend and he does something reckless and stupid. In this case, it's stealing hens or chickens or whatever. And I love that he explains the plan as well. We get the overhead shot of like what's going to happen. Or like he's just like, oh, how do we get over this fence? And then Kylie is just like, why don't we just go over there? There's nothing over there. That's much better. Just that sort of quick, dry humor. There's a lot of stuff I didn't pick up.
The electricity, I love how they turn into black and white kind of caricatures, like,
And we've seen those, the figures, too. They're decent size. Like, they have them on display at the Academy Museum, and they're like action figure size. It's kind of awesome. And so he does that, and every single time, like, Felicity Fox opens up the cupboard and is like, oh, what happened here? But I feel like she always knew, like, a part. Yeah, she knew. And he's such a bad liar, too. She's just like, there's a bogus tag at the end of this chicken. He's like, oh, I didn't really notice that.
Yeah, man, I love him. So, oh, it was 70% off. Like, it was really cheap. I got it. Okay, so bye. And then we see the son going to a high school. And this is the most, this felt very Wes Anderson kind of spot. The whole thing about the whack player, the whack ball.
Oh, so whack like bat. And the coach voiced by Owen Wilson.
I was going to say, that was Owen Wilson, right? I was
like, regular Wes Anderson. I'm just going to bring up the collaborators that he often works with. And it's also because he went to college with the Wilson brothers. He was roommates with Owen. They wrote his first movie, Bottle Rocket, together. So they're lifelong friends.
Nice.
So whenever he shows up in a movie, I'm just like, oh, yeah, you just called him. And then he just came in to wow us all and all that stuff. And he's also jealous because there's a lady fox and Christofferson gets her affection and all that stuff. Although Ash is kind of a little dick and he is really small. He looks like a small child, even though they're supposed to be like teenagers at this point.
And then after this is when we go to they go back to the cider. They're going to get some cider. And I look at the sun, looks them from afar. It was that guy. I was like, oh, I want to join in too. I was like, no, get out. And then I was like, oh, I love that the son was like, I can never do nothing. And like he leaves it that way. And then they get the cousin. I was like, wow, you're really a bad father, Mr. Fox. And then they got the cousin and they give him the hat. The
bandit mask.
The bandit mask.
Also, I want to know who's making these masks? What animal is making these masks? Like their size. And that another trait of Wes Anderson's is he also does stories with children that resent their parents as well, like angsty teens. He has a lot of those. He like Moonrise Kingdom and a little bit of the Royal Tenenbaums. Just he really likes angsty teens. And another thing we'll bring up later, but while they're at the cider cellar, which looks incredible. Apparently it's alcoholic cider as well.
And all of the bottles look amazing. All of the tags and everything. And then you meet the best character in the movie.
Oh, the security guard, Rat.
Yes.
Voiced by another regular, Willem Dafoe. And he's doing a southern accent.
Yes.
And he's having a great time.
Also, the design of it, a very, like, very thin rat. And it feels like this rat feels like it's a character from West Side Story with the shirt, or like with the white and the red strips. And the way that he has the cigarette.
And yeah, when you look at that, you're like, yeah, I understand why you picked Willem Dafoe to voice this guy.
And I look, I was like, isn't your wife was a town tart? And I was like, even I was like, wait, what is he talking about? I was like, the way that he said that, I was like, this is an animated movie. Ooh.
This movie is actually very, much more adult than people think it is.
It's very
it's not gratuitous either.
No.
It's very much like subtle, where it's like they'll slip something in and you're like, I can't believe they just did that.
Well, it's also because this is a Noah Baumbach screenplay.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's Wes Anderson and Noah Baumbach. Oddly enough, they work really well together. But they manage to lock the rat in, steal some cider, By the way, Bean's wife, voiced by the late Helen McCrory, Draco Malfoy's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get back, literally the scene from The Incredibles, Felicity finds him. She's sitting in the dark. And then she's just like, if what I think is happening, it better not be.
Mm-hmm.
And then
this is when we see that the Mr. Bean gets really angry, Dumbledore. And we see him that he's very good at guns. And he's planning to kill Mr. Fox. And I love it when he gets discovered, like Mr. Fox, Felicity discovers him. Right next to him, he wakes up because he hears the shots. I was like, oh my God, what is going on? I was like, we have to protect the children. I was like, over my dead body. And I looked at the voice, I was like, yeah, that could happen. And between all of these shots, Mr. Fox misses his tail.
Oh yeah, he gets his tail shot off. Did happen in the book. It follows most of the book,
mm-hmm.
Very well. Even its themes are very similar, mm-hmm. but somehow Wes Anderson made it to where it fits into his wheelhouse as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels okay. Doesn't feel like, you know, like he's completely doing something different or mm-hmm. whatever.
And I do also like I love that Wes Anderson has a very interesting way of showing geographics, because we see how all the three factories are separated and how they're technically all connected in a line, and the tree is right in the middle in front of all three of them. I do like that a lot. And the tree is getting attacked and they all dig. I do like the animation of how they dig all of them all together. And then it was like, and then the wife was like, but you promised me 12 years that you would change. I was like, this story is going to be predictable. I was like, you will die. And I love that they're talking in a beautiful shot between all of the minerals and the close-up within their eyes. I do like the conversations every time that they're talking, these two, Mr. Fox and Felicity Fox.
Yeah, and then she's just like, why? And he just goes, because I'm a wild animal. Even though we know he's just dodging because, like, it's really because he just wants to and he's selfish.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also the thing. He's still, like, you know, trying to be the best and, hey, look at me, everybody. And they dig down, so they're just stuck down there. And then it turns out all the other animals are there because the farmers decided to burn everyone's home. So all the other animals are understandably very pissed.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, all right, here's what we're going to do. We are going to...
First, they're very pissed at them because technically because of Mr. Fox, number one, the three guys destroyed the tree and they make a big hole, try to find them. And because of that, all of the animals are getting attacked too. And also everybody criticizes him because of his like midlife crisis of going back to what he used to be for. That's why technically they're also paying the price.
Yeah, and that's a theme in the book,
mm-hmm.
is that it shows the ugliness of greed on the part of everybody. You know, it's like, it's a consequences.
And I also like that the three guys, they get 108 snipers, all of their employees to be on the lookout just to kill one fox. It's incredibly petty and incredibly cartoonish, and I really like that detail, though.
Yeah, and then...
I love that the Badger Moses, you scared the cuss out of us. They used the cuss word so many times, and I cannot believe that this was PG.
Well, yeah, and they only say, like, cuss just to avoid, but it oddly works, too, because, you know, it's made for kids, technically. And, anyway, what Fox does is he manages to, they, he's like, all right, you know what we're going to do? We're going to dig underneath their farms and then we're going to steal everything.
Mm-hmm.
So they do that. And I love when Bean finds out, everything's gone. He just destroys everything.
Yes, but he's gone. He goes berserk. I was like, ah!
And no, like he literally goes out of his way. The movies deliberately just shows he will destroy. He destroys literally everything in his way. It doesn't matter. And then he's just like, oh, I got an idea, because he was about to destroy his cider machine, which mm-hmm. makes a special batch. But he's like, I just got an idea. Mm-hmm. And all the animals are celebrating like this big Thanksgiving dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Like the rabbit is a cook, voiced by actual cook, disgraced cook now, Mario Batali. Yeah, and all the kids are, Beaver's son, who's seen bullying Ash earlier, like smears dirt in his face, and Kristofferson beats him up. Nash, mm-hmm. I love, he's just like, I can fight my own battles, and Kristofferson just goes, no, you can't. Mm-hmm. Very refreshing for somebody to just be like, you know, he's been super cool with him and he's just mm-hmm. had enough of Ash, because he's mm-hmm. understandably he's treating him very terribly because he mm-hmm. resents him.
Mm-hmm.
We all have that one person that we resent or wish we could do, that we envy. And Fox is just like, oh yeah, look at this big feast, as like Badger was starting a toast and everything, and then he takes over the toast.
Mm.
But we hear a big rumbling, and they get flushed out by the cider,
mm-hmm.
and it destroys just, Badger's mineral mine.
They get flushed away.
Yeah, and that's all cool. Like the little animations that they all have.
I look at they also feel like they feel like geroglyphs. The way that they move, like they go through the water, everything like that. And then that's when they plan to technically between all of them, because of their different abilities, to do one last attack to get technically revenge of all of these three guys. And this is my other conversation that I admire a lot, that Mr. Fox is talking with Felicity, and they see this beautiful water that is falling. It feels like they're kind of like in a sewage underneath one of the factories.
This moment happens. First, they get flooded out because thanks to the fire chief, they decided to literally get a fire hose and just flush them out.
Yeah.
But then Badger's just like, well, now we're stuck in the sewers. They have a mm-hmm. manhole up there. We're probably going to starve to death because we just lost all the food and everything. So hope you feel proud of yourself, Fox. And this is the first time in the movie where he really is like, oh my God, what have I done? And then that's where you're talking about with like the shot of the sewer water in the background, mm-hmm. like a waterfall. And he's just like in the center frame.
Mm-hmm.
We like see his outline. He's just like looking down.
Yeah, I was like, maybe I should let them hang me and use me as a mantelpiece. And I was like, it feels like the way that everybody talks about me is like everybody is criticizing me. And also, I know that I made a mistake. I mean, like you can say that. I was like, now they will talk about me when I die. I was like, you could be the fantastic Mr. Fox. I was like, he said it. And then we see the rat coming, because also the cousin and the son, they got out from a different part of the sewer system, but then the cousin gets kidnapped. So the rat comes to see them at the sewer. I was like, I wanna treat the son for the papa. And he shows from the guys, from the three villains, a ransom note in magazine quotes.
And kind of like the Riddler in Batman Forever. They're like, why did they put it in like magazine letters? Why didn't they just write it?
They want to protect their identities, but we know who they are. And I was like, okay, that was a good line. I like
I love that observational humor. And the reason why Kristofferson and Ash went to Bean's farm is because they wanted to get Mr. Fox's tail back, Mm-hmm. Because Bean's been using it as a necktie.
Yes.
And so they were just like, okay. Because they've been starting to reconcile and everything.
And this is my question, even though this is an animated movie, how did the humans know that the fox can read?
A wizard did it. I don't know. It's a fantasy.
I know.
It's whatever. And then, so...
Then... I know that the rat starts snapping like in West Side Story. Like, and
yeah.
And then
they all have their little quirks.
And then it looks at Felicia, you still look as fine as a creme brulee. And I'm like, damn, rat. The Felicia was like, am I being complimented by a sadistic rat? Like, damn.
Yeah, it's also just like implied that they've had a history.
Oh, yes, they did.
And or like then, just like fox and rat. I like how they're all just their animal names.
Mm-hmm. And then the fox and the rat, they start fighting and they go into like a little part of the tunnel that has electricity and it cuts between them fighting. And then we just see the reactions of Mrs. Fox and the other animals looking from afar. We just see, pss, and then we see light and then we see the fight and then we see dark and light. And I'm like, this is Siler and Peter fighting in both times in Heroes. We just seen the flashes of the damn fight and we don't see the damn whole fight.
Like, the whole, like, aesthetic of this movie is beautiful to look at.
Mm-hmm. It's very beautiful to look at, though.
And so Rat gets electrocuted, and then he spills the beans about where they're holding Christofferson. They literally just, they blindfolded him and put him, like in Toy Story, in a milk cart.
Mm-hmm.
Or carton. Yeah, no, like a, you know, one of those plastic
carts. Like a little cages. Yeah, those little, like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he's just like, would you have told if you weren't about to die? And he's just like, never. But basically, you know, I'm sorry, Rat. I'm sorry, Fox. And then Rat, literally, and he gets like the X's on his eyes and everything. And then they're just like, huh, okay.
Better dancing than Maren Cotillard in The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, here it was better. Nothing will top Marion Cotillard's death scene in that. And then after this, Mr. Fox, because he was going to give himself up and be like, mm-hmm. look, if it'll save everybody else, then fine. And then we get yet another plan. This time, they're going to...
use everybody's strengths.
Yes, they all have strengths.
And I love that Miss Felicity Teriki, the whole plan is her to paint the whole town and everybody starts their strategic according to the painting. I do like that little detail. And I love that she adds the thunderstorm even though it's not them raining during the plan. I like that little detail.
And also Kylie doesn't like thunder.
Mm-hmm.
It's that little motif. And Fox doesn't like wolves. Mm-hmm. 'Cause Kylie keeps mentioning wolves and he's just like, why do you keep talking about wolves? There's a reason for that. And anyway, everyone has a plan. Essentially, it's going to be a rescue mission. Mm-hmm. And Fox offers to surrender himself just so long as the farmers free Christofferson and spare everyone else. Mm-hmm. And then the farmers, predictably, are going to prepare an ambush. Mm-hmm. But they launch a counterattack by playing... or lighting the pine cones on fire like they did for the sport. And mm-hmm. it starts destroying everything.
I love
a lot of wanton destruction.
I love the chain reaction between all the different spots. Like there's the bread stop, there's the meat shop and all those stuff. And I love that Dumbledore has this fake tape of the cousin. And the fox was like, wait, that doesn't sound like him. And in my head, I was like, wait, so the Dumbledore and the guys know that they can talk.
Well, yeah, and I love that just the fact that animals and humans can talk. Mm-hmm. Also, I found two more interesting castings. So the little mouse that accompanies mm-hmm. them, that's Adrian Brody.
That was regular, Adrian Brody? Nice.
Regular West collaborator. Mm-hmm. And when he was moving in, like the squirrels or moving all his furniture and stuff, the squirrel contractor, that was Roman Coppola.
Wow.
Screenwriter nice. And Francis's son. Mm-hmm. Also good friends with Wes Anderson. And obviously Jason Schwartzman, since he is a Coppola. That's his cousin. His actual cousin. So it's kind of meta in that respect. But
yes.
I love that they basically...
The son goes to free the cousin, and I love that the cousin started the little cage like in Toy Story, and the whole plot was just to push the cage for him to get out.
Yeah, he originally wanted him to just break the lock, but he doesn't know karate, because Christopherson knows karate, because of course he does.
Yoga.
Mm-hmm. I'll say Eric Anderson, it's Eric Chase Anderson. Mm-hmm. My bad, not Christian. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of Eric Christian Olsen. Mm-hmm. Eric Chase Anderson, his brother, despite never acting before, does a pretty good job, I'd say. And Ash makes an apology to him before that. Fox apologized to Ash and was just like, it's not you, it's me, literally. And I like that Fox just takes ownership and is just like, look, I'm the reason why everything's screwed up. I'm paying for it. But right now we're just going to rescue my nephew because his dad has double pneumonia, which is ridiculous. But
yeah, whatever. It's very ridiculous. That's why he's there, the cousin. And then also like that the Mr. Fox, the whole thing that it was set up in the beginning that one of the Beagles had rabies. And they see the fox that has rabies, and they start fight. They start like trying to fight him to fight it.
Well, it's because Fox looked him in the eye, and he said earlier, "Don't look him in the eye." So he breaks his own rule and forgets.
Yes.
And I love the look of realization where he knows what he did wrong too.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's like, "Oh crap!" And he gets he's getting chased, but we feel like we're on the back of the beagle as the camera's shaking and everything. It's very interesting.
Because I like that sequence too.
It's not really animated like any other movie. Like, it's all stop motion, but it's just feels... I don't know, it's shot like a regular movie.
Yes.
So it doesn't feel very stagnant. There's interesting camera angles and like how the camera moves. I love how Wes Anderson moves his cameras too. I'll give... Like, I know he's not for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I truly think that most people don't even know, or he's very niche, and it's like, you know, it sounds pretentious, but I've seen interviews with him. He's just a chill dude.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's always directors that have a very particular kind of style, and I do admire his style though, but I'm not saying that I don't hate it. I'm very in the middle with him. Very in the middle. Yeah, and then after this, we see this is the whole thing that I was also confused about the wolf. Because this is when we get to the wolf thing.
Oh, when they're escaping with Christopherson and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Ash, first of all, he impresses his dad finally by taking enemy fire, and then he releases the dog to all the humans and stuff. And they're just, they can ride motorcycles. Okay. They see this dark wolf on the hillside, and Fox says that he's afraid of wolves, and he tries to speak to him, first in English and then in French, and doesn't respond, and then until he just raises his fist in solidarity.
Yeah.
And then the wolf raises the fist too. I never got that at first, but the point of the scene, which according to Wes Anderson, is actually the reason why he made the film. It's that Fox is battling his wild nature. He has a desire to follow his passions and live his life on his own terms, but he also has responsibilities and duties to his family. The wolf is symbolic of his ambitions to live freely. His quote-unquote irrational fear of them suggests that he knows that he may not actually be cut out for that lifestyle. It might even kill him, yet he pines for it nonetheless. Ultimately, and this is really the point of the movie, he learns to live with his own constraints and makes the most of his life. He recognizes that he can live his best life not by freeing himself of his familial limits and responsibilities, but instead by embracing them and working together to make life better for everyone. I'd say that's a pretty good message.
Yeah.
So really, the wolf is just symbolism for his wants and desires. Mm-hmm. So we know he's a wild animal, and that's just what he wants. Ultimately, it's just him being selfish. And then Ash and Christofferson have just become friends. They even share meditation and everything. Mm-hmm. Although they're still trapped in the sewers, they learn to they explore the sewers, and Fox leads them to a drain in the floor of a supermarket, mm-hmm. which they don't know is actually owned by the three farmers. But yeah, they can raid a supermarket for food.
Yes.
And then Felicity just goes, "I'm pregnant again."
Again.
And then they just dance.
I know.
Awkwardly.
And that's how the movie ends.
Yep. That was Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Okay. I will say this. I do not regret watching this. This is a movie that it was on my list for years. Because I always have need to watch more of Wes Anderson. I want to see, maybe I will find the Wes Anderson movie that I would like. I do like Moonrise Kingdom, though.
Moonrise Kingdom is great.
Moonrise Kingdom is great. But I do admire the way that it complements his style with the animation, though. It's less quirky compared to his live action things. I like that. It complements him very well. The details on the fur and the eyes and the little details that feel like you're watching a stage play in a storybook. I do like that a lot. It's a very interesting story for children, though. But
absolutely.
It doesn't feel like children. It feels more like for teenagers, though.
Yeah, I like that Anderson doesn't really sugarcoat anything. He's just like, mm-hmm. this is my story. It's made for kids. This movie's pacing is very good. I forgot just how quick it goes. And it's only like an hour and a half long, too. But it doesn't feel like it, like, there's moments where the movie slows down. Uh-huh. But it never slows down to the point where it's a detriment.
Yeah.
Not for me, anyway.
Yeah, no, not for you. For me, it took me 3 times that I paused it, took a break. I mean, like, I know that everybody's different, but I'm like...
If anything, it's the unique 60s music.
Yeah, he does like a lot of 60s, yeah. In a lot of his movies, he loves the 60s.
Which is
a lot.
Strange, because he usually, like... Anderson curates a lot of the music as well. A lot of the times he does, like, obscure French stuff. He's actually more of a Francophile. And here, it's mostly just, like... 60s. I mean, the movie literally ends with the Beach Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And Alexander Desplat, mm-hmm. he's worked with many times. He actually won an Oscar for Grand Budapest Hotel for his score. It's very... the score is also very quirky. There's really no other word to describe it. This is a quirky, quirky film, but... Like I said, you love it or hate it.
Yeah.
I love it. And our friend Matthew, who we've had on the show, Matthew Farrelly, he loves this movie. This is one of his favorite movies.
Mm-hmm.
And rewatching it, I understand.
For me, as a first time watch, I don't hate it, but I don't love it. I'm very in the middle. If it weren't for the dialogue, I would have not liked this movie. So I will give this movie a 6.5. The movie looks gorgeous and everything, but for me, the pacing was a little difficult for me.
I disagree about the pacing entirely.
I know. Mm-hmm.
For me, like, this was only like my third time rewatching it, but there's a lot of little stuff that I picked up,
mm-hmm.
and I really liked... like, this was Wes Anderson's first time doing animation as well.
This was his first one, okay.
Mm-hmm. This was his first, yes. But the cast that they got, just the worlds of Roald Dahl compliment him. And we didn't really talk about Roald Dahl. We'll do that, I think, next week.
Yes. Because that's more Rodol style, the one that we're going to do next week.
Much darker. He's usually, he's still got that whimsical element, but his stories have like a dark edge to it.
Especially because of his villains. That's the thing that I like about Rodol.
Yeah. I mean, heck, his most famous story ever. It's actually much darker than, I mean, people realize, they're like, oh yeah, no, it's kind of messed up. Mm-hmm. I'll give this movie a 7.5.
Okay.
It's I really enjoyed it on a rewatch. I was like, yeah, there's really nothing else like it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing that I admire. It's a very own, it's not copying something else. I like that it's doing its own thing. I do admire that about the movie. Maybe I will have to rewatch it again. But as a first time watch, I'm saying I'm very in the middle. I don't hate it, but I don't love it. It's a very, it was okay.
Yeah, it's a very niche pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I wouldn't have it any other way. It just makes our talks interesting. Somehow we managed to bloat this episode.
Yes, we did.
Loop it to 46 minutes. I don't know how we did it.
Mm-hmm.
But next week, we're going to talk about something that Raul loves. Also very dark. Very dearly. But this was, it was actually the last adaptation that Roald Dahl ever saw.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about The Witches next week. And then our last two for Roald Dahl, his most famous adaptations and his two most famous stories.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do a double feature of Willy Wonka and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh,
so we're doing both the classic Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory and the Tim Burton remake of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. So it's going to be kind of more or less the same movie for the most part. I mean, you know what it is. It's one of the most famous movies ever. One of the most famous stories.
There's a big difference between both of them, though.
Oh, yeah. No, but I mean, like, the overall story.
Oh, yeah, the overall story,
Most people in the world know it. Yeah, kind of like A Christmas Carol. Everybody knows the story of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're ending it with Matilda.
Fuck yeah. Oh, I have been waiting so many times, so many years to talk about Matilda.
I haven't watched it in years, so it's going to be interesting.
I think I saw that movie maybe like 40 times when I was a kid. God, I love that movie.
But yeah, you all wanted this. Mm-hmm. You all voted for it. But until then.
Yes, until then.
Where can the good people find you, buddy?
You can find me as always at RobertRDC on Twitter, Instagram, and on Letterboxd at RobertRDC. Please follow the podcast on SYN Spot on Twitter. Give us a nice review and the other things in you, Billy.
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter and Letterboxd at MasterOfPuns196. Every word starts with a capital letter. You can also follow us, or you can follow me on Instagram at BillyBatsonsLightning. Nothing is capitalized. And you can follow the main show Twitter once again at SYNSPod. As well as give us a 5-star review and just write a review on Apple Podcasts, as well as listen to us on Stitcher, Spotify, SoundCloud, Spotify for Podcasters, wherever podcasts can be listened to. And as always,
see you next summer. Dun, 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 dun.